You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is veterans' rights attorney Benjamin Krause. Ben, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on.
Ben, we've spoken many times in the past, and you send out via your e-newsletter some pretty fantastic stories, which you just did last week. This piqued my interest here because I've been following these social media companies like Facebook and Google and YouTube. Facebook censors conservative disabled veterans news website. Facebook has continued its censorship of veterans news and issues from conservative voices, even those voices critical of President Donald Trump's policies related to veterans. It says here, today, journalist and veteran rights attorney Benjamin Krause ran into roadblocks promoting a story he wrote. Of course, that's through Facebook. I want to get into that in great detail in a moment, Ben. But for the benefit of the listeners who might not be familiar with you, just please give them a little bit of background about who you are and what you do.
Yeah, no problem, Dave. So I am a veteran rights attorney. I'm also a journalist. And before I became an attorney, I worked in helping expose scandals, fraud, waste, and abuse within the Department of Veterans Affairs. When I became an attorney, I still continued to work on that. So my website is disabledveterans.org, and I publish basically daily whatever I think is going on in the news related to veterans. So I work in that capacity as a journalist still. And I also am a veteran rights attorney focusing on certain types of cases that maybe aren't kind of well-received or well-researched by others. So if I have an issue that comes up where it's unique and a veteran really needs help, there's a high chance that I'll take a look at it when other attorneys may not. So I look at issues related to fraud, waste, and abuse, and then if that is implicated by the veteran's particular case, whether it's a veteran who works for the VA or whether it's a veteran trying to get benefits or health care from the VA. If it implicates fraud, waste, and abuse, then I'll take a look at the case and try to develop it out. I also work very closely with television reporters and other reporters, both locally and nationally, to get the word out and educate the public about what veterans are dealing with within the VA, because the agency itself has their own $30 to $40 million a year propaganda budget, telling the American public that everything is fine and that they've resolved all their different backlogs and wait lists and everything else, and that veterans aren't dying and veterans aren't committing suicide. We do the best that we can to try to get to leverage our own relationships with the press to try to educate the public so that everyone realizes that veterans are still experiencing problems and that the agency is still yet to resolve those issues. In a nutshell, that's what I do.
Right. Thank you, Ben. And you're really such a hard worker. I mean, you're doing this 7 days a week, getting this vital information out to veterans to help them along. And we know what a disaster the VA has been. And you graciously pointed out, of course, the bad guys don't like that. Now we've got someone or something that's supposed to be neutral, supposed to be just, I guess, a platform for people to share photographs or news. But you went to share something on this platform and it didn't work out. Tell listeners about that, Ben.
I did. So a little bit about the story. I had come across information that the former acting VA secretary, Peter O'Rourke, who is also the gentleman who worked on Trump's campaign, who apparently stood up the Office of Accountability and Whistleblower Protection for President Trump, which is kind of what they're heralding in the Trump administration as being a great success. I believe it's a horrific failure and that it's not encouraging accountability or whistleblower protection, but instead it's more of like the Office of Whistleblower Retaliation, where they actually develop intelligence against employees that become whistleblowers and then use that at the local level to attack them, to get them fired or worse. So I believe it's a colossal failure and it's been abused. And my position in this particular story was talking about how the Office of Accountability and Whistleblower Protection is actually a farce and misnamed. I wanted to talk about that on Facebook. So a few months ago, I went through the steps to make sure that I could promote my stories that are of national importance or stories that have national implications on policy, like Veterans Affairs. Went through the sequence and checked all the boxes that Facebook at the time was requiring. And so I should be fine for getting the word out about these types of issues. Anyway, so I attempted to do it, and Facebook said that I hadn't done it. Of course, that's false. I have. And when I responded in the appeal, they said that magically my ad, so to speak, violated policy. Of course, it's not really an ad. This is an article that I wrote that I wanted to have disseminated on the platform that's supposedly neutral. And Facebook said that I violate some kind of policy, wouldn't explain what. And so they didn't want my money. This for-profit, supposed capitalist, supposed neutral platform didn't want my money. The article that I was writing is clearly about not even really politics necessarily, but dealing with Veterans Affairs policy and a law that they passed but Facebook doesn't want that promoted. So they denied my attempt to pay them to do the service that they supposedly are supposed to be doing because they didn't like my speech. Of course, I'm a disabled veteran. I'm also an attorney, but primarily I was a disabled veteran first, and I'm trying to get out my story and my perspective about the VA as a disabled veteran. And in my opinion, this is a violation of my civil rights. As a disabled veteran in a protected class, a person with disabilities, I believe I should have a right to talk on this platform, given that the platform has been taking advantage of federal funds to be developed to begin with. So when they rejected my continued requests to talk about these problems in the agency, of course, now I realize that maybe we need to ratchet up the game here to the next level and start getting this out into the courts.
Basically, they denied your ability to disseminate this article. They called it an ad, as if they wouldn't know the difference between an ad and an article at this point.
Right.
They only deal with hundreds of thousands and millions of posts and articles and ads, but they chose to call this an ad, even though it was clearly an article. And where does it stand right now?
Oh, it's toast. There's nobody to talk to. You just game over. Try again, and then I'll get a request to promote, and if I try, then they just won't let me. So for whatever reason, my disabledveterans.org website, Facebook just doesn't like it and won't let me publish content other than in my own profile, but they won't let me promote it. Yeah. Apparently, it's a viewpoint that they don't like, so they're not going to accept my money or to let me talk about what it's like to be a disabled person in America. Apparently, being disabled makes people uncomfortable.
That sounds fair to me and very American. There's people who spend a lot of time on this Facebook, and I'm not one of them. I do have it, but very little time I spend on it. But there's something when you're locked out of Facebook. They call it Facebook jail. I don't know if that's the actual term of it, but you do something that angers the Facebook censors, and then they limit your ability to post stuff for, I think, a month, for 30 days. Has that ever happened to you?
No, I've never had that problem. I've seen that with some other veterans platforms that I've written about where, for example, Peter the PTSD Penguin was a Facebook page dedicated to publishing memes that make people laugh. And they had about 200 and some odd thousand followers. So the page was wildly popular. But as we know, censors cannot read memes with their computer algorithms. And so they weren't able to catch all those. And instead of dealing with it, well, they just deleted the whole page. And so this page that was dedicated to veterans with post-traumatic stress disorder, so disabled veterans dealing with PTSD, they just deleted it. So all the work that these men and women put in to develop this community of over 200,000 veterans and then anyone else that supported the cause and awareness about PTSD, they just deleted it, just like apparently a few other veteran groups that they didn't like. So they just deleted it.
What do you think it is that motivates an entity like Facebook to obviously have some sort of a vendetta against a group like that?
Well, I think that veterans stand for something bigger than what Facebook can influence. And I suspect that because most veterans have a very low fear factor compared to other Americans, that the typical Pavlovian style tactics that the company uses to psychologically condition and torture users, it just doesn't work on veterans the same way. And so I think that most veterans are generally pro Second Amendment, pro First Amendment, pro Constitution, and anti-censorship and anti-European Union. So I think that because we have these views that are not consistent with what social media and Silicon Valley are trying to push on us, specifically the European Union model of censorship and harmony. They want to promote harmony at all costs rather than the free speech model, which is the American way that actually does encourage discourse and argument and voicing your opinion, being heard so that the minority could still have a voice too. Apparently, Facebook wants the minority to not have a voice at all and wants everyone to basically conform to this more lemming style, harmonized speech model that the European populace uses. So they don't want us to have a voice, and they're going to shut it down if it's a voice that they can't control or influence in a way that they want.
Yes, and the evidence of the, shall we say, ideology of Silicon Valley and these big tech companies has been on painful display lately, unfortunately, sadly. They've taken this position, and there are undercover videos that have been released and undercover emails, documents that have been leaked. that show that they absolutely do have an agenda. So this is the case without a doubt. There's a lawsuit right now that's trying to gain some traction from an organization called Freedom Watch. It's Freedom Watch versus Google, YouTube, et al. That addresses these matters that we're discussing here. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It can be accessed at freedomwatchusa.org. So I think that a lot of people who might be considered conservative, if we can use that term, have finally had enough and are striking back. And you might want to take a look at that if you're familiar with
it. I'm going to. I'm following Freedom Watch and what he's been doing for some time. And I think I'm going to start pushing this out because at this point, if we don't do something, we're going to end up with, well, Europe. And merely because some of these totalitarians running these companies, these government-funded companies, by the way, because they apparently want us to conform and become like Europe, which is not what most of us want. But apparently Silicon Valley wants it the other way because, of course, for a lot of these projects that they're running, they need us plugged into them in much the same way as we would see as a metaphor in Matrix, where they're sucking energy off of these humans and babies. In many ways, that serves as a metaphor for what we have here. And I guess a great example of that, in my opinion, is how Facebook and Google, for example, really want to plug into and take advantage of veteran medical data because they want to extrapolate that information into their algorithms for predictive modeling systems using artificial intelligence to basically break down the PII protections from HIPAA to target individuals directly. And so what we end up with, again, they develop these inventions off of our tax dollars, off of our medical records, off of these things that are really our property, but because of their relationships with lobbyist agencies, they're able to profit wildly from having access to our own systems. And so in a sense, they really want us plugged in to this control grid. And for us, most Americans, we want to eat apple pie. We want to love our kids and our parents and not have somebody digging into our stuff. And then that's not what big tech wants. They want our stuff. They need our stuff. And so from their perspective, in order to get at that stuff, these models of censorship and human Pavlovian and modeling systems is how you get control of more people so they can get more data and make more money. So for them, it's not necessarily even about censorship and this supposed harmony encouraged discourse. For them, it's about control. They want more stuff. They want to profit from that stuff. And they're hiding behind this European excuse as a means to extrapolate our information and to profit off of us. But that's, I think, really what's going on. Like, they could give two rips about whether or not we argue, but they realize that there's more money in pushing this harmony because then they can plug us all into the system in a way that we otherwise wouldn't be, and then they can profit off of it.
Yes, very good, Ben. Very well said, and that's exactly the case with this big tech. And you just wrote about that today. I got that today in email. Leaked report, Google censorship of Americans under European models. So folks, go to disabledveterans.org. Wonderful resource. Ben Krause, wonderful attorney, wonderful American. Ben, I want to thank you so much for the time you spent explaining all this to the listeners. And as usual, I'm looking forward to talking to you again real soon.
Thanks, Dave. I really appreciate your time.